Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch mentioned several minhagim that we follow fairly carefully to this day. The first one is based on a Gemara in Croesus. And that meaning is to eat foods that are called by names that remind us of good things. For example, the Shulchan Aruch mentioned something called rubia. Rubia, which when you write it in Hebrew, has the letters, you know, the root resh bet in it, which means a lot. And we say, just to emphasize that point, yi ratzon sheyirbu zichuyaseinu. In other words, there's some kind of ribui, there's some sort of notion of much or many that we should be thinking about on Rosh Hashanah. And this food, or this food that has this name, is a kind of a prod, or enables us to think about that. Another food called karti, and yichritu son einu, that our enemies should be cut off. So that in the Gemara it says that there are foods that have names that remind us of things that we should be thinking about on Rosh Hashanah, and so we should eat those foods. Because we eat those foods, and in the machzor, usually in the machzor for Rosh Hashanah, these things, this whole list appears. The Shulchan Aruch, however, does not say when you eat them. Like, when do you eat these things that are all things that grow in the ground? That's the list in Croesus. The Ramah adds sheyesh nogim lechol tapuach matok bidvash. He says there are those who have the custom to eat sweet tapuach bidvash. I mean, it's not clear whether he means the tapuach itself is sweet without the dvash, or the tapuach is not so sweet, so you have to add the dvash to it. Ve'omrim tischade shaleinu shona misuka, and then you kind of, you don't, it's not, it has nothing to do with the word tapuach, and it doesn't have anything to do with the word dvash. But it has to do with the fact that a tapuach bedvash is sweet. So sweet is something that it's nice to think about in Rosh Hashanah, that we should eat, we should have a sweet year. The other minhag that there are more quotes is that we eat rimonim. Rimonim, what are rimonim?
Pomegranates.
Right, pomegranates. It's always a problem keeping the pomegranates off your shirts, but and there also, it's not the word rimon that reminds us of anything, but it's the way a rimon is. A pomegranate, you open it up, it has a lot of seeds in it. So we could say nirbe zichuyos kerimon. And the third thing the Ramah says is that noagim lechol basar shamein, that you, the minhag is to eat fat meat, which I get before the cholesterol attack was considered to be a delicacy, b'chol minei metika, b'chol minei metika, before the anti-sugar attack, this was also considered to be a delicacy. In other words, you on Rosh Hashanah is a time of optimism. So if you eat fatty meat and sugar-coated candies, so that shows that you're optimistic. I mean, I guess if you were on your way to some previously declared death sentence, you might ask for a cigarette, but you probably wouldn't ask for a Hershey bar. But who knows? I mean, not having been there, I'm not sure exactly what happens to people. In other words, there are two kinds of eatings that we do. One kind of eating is the kind that's listed in the Mishnah and the Gemara in Croesus, which compares, which says, eat this food because the name of the food will remind you of something good. And in the machzor, they don't let it just remind you. They tell you what you're supposed to say. You eat it and you say it. This is in the Mechaber. It fell into disuse in Eastern Europe, where none of these items was available, and was rejuvenated in Eretz Yisrael when the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim, you know, came together. And as you know, Sfardim know more about eating than Ashkenazi. I mean, so I didn't know how to eat. So they also knew, they had traditions for what all of these things were, etc. When it comes to eating a tapuach, Eating a tapuach, as you know, presents a halachic issue, because if you eat the tapuach in the meal, there are two halachic problems that have to do with eating an apple in the meal. And one of them is when you eat the apple, let's say the way we do it is, you make kiddush, and then you make hamotzi, and then you sit down. I mean, you're ready for the meal. So instead of eating the meal, you eat a piece of apple, which everybody would agree is a kind of an unreasonable act, you know, like we don't usually do that. So the question is, of course, do you make a brocha on the apple? Because the apple is, I guess, not part of the meal, because the only reason I'm eating the apple is because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, eat the apple. But nobody would serve an apple under, you know, it's like under duress. So do you make a brocha on the apple? So I suppose you do. You should make a brocha on the apple. Then there's a secondary question about the dvash. What is it that you're really eating? You know, you always have that problem when you eat things together, mush together. Are you really eating dvash? Because dvash is very sweet. Apples are not so sweet. And the apple is just like a spoon. Like, instead of putting the dvash on your finger, so you put the dvash on an apple. But the dvash is really the important thing. As you see in the Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to think about how sweet the upcoming year is going to be. A dvash is more sweet than an apple. Or is it that we're eating an apple, which has a certain amount of natural sweetness to it, of some kind, and we're just enhancing it with liftan. You know, we're sort of just smearing something on it, which you would never eat on its own, like, you know, the dvash. And so it's a problem. One way of dealing with this problem is to eat a lot of apple with a little bit of dvash. If you eat a lot of apple with a little bit of dvash, it would seem that the ikar is certainly the apple, and in spite of the fact that you want to increase the sweetness, the dvash remains tafel. And so the brocha that you make is very pure eitz, and you eat a little bit of dvash with it. Okay? The other halachas that I mentioned in the Mechaber in Beis is that in the continuing the eating, the different kinds of eatings, that this is not mentioned in Krisus, but it's mentioned elsewhere in the poskim, you eat the head of a sheep, and you say, Niyela Rosh Veloyde Zanav. Okay, head of a sheep. It's not common fare, I guess. You know, in some sheikdom in Burundi, they probably are into eating heads of sheep. We have substituted that in most cases with the head of a fish, which seems to be a little bit more reasonable. Personally, I don't like fish heads at all. And it would not enhance my good feeling on Rosh Hashanah to be obliged to eat it. However, there are people who think that fish heads are delicacies, and more power to them. And then the Mechaber says, so you have you have this idea of Rosh Velo Lezanav, and then you have the second idea, Zecher LeElo Shel Yitzchak, you know, that when Yitzchak, the Akedah Yitzchak, was interchanged for an ayal, for some kind of a ram. And so the head of a keves reminds us of this as well. So that's another good reason to eat the head of it. That's what the Mechaber says. The Ramah, you can see that the Mechaber, you know, in Sfarad, they're always giving you directions about what you should eat. The Ramah, who came from, he was in Poland, he gives you directions about what you shouldn't eat. And he says, some people don't eat egozim. Egozim. What are egozim? Nuts. Oh, yeah. Some kind of nuts. Isn't there like a type? Isn't egoz a type of nut?
Hazel.
Anyway, whatever they are. But the reason you don't eat them, the Ramah says, is that egoz begematria is chait. I mean, you know that the Gra didn't like this particular Ramah. He didn't think that the Ramah knew how to count. And nevertheless, there is such a minhag. And also, Shehei Marbim Kicho V'Niyom Vatan Tfilo, he says, the Ramah says, look, you know, you have to daven Rosh Hashanah, the davening is very long, so you shouldn't eat food that will annoy you. And then he says another minhag. The Ramah says, "Holchim el ha-nohor lomar psukei tashlich b'mitzulos yam kol chatisenu, v'gam noagim shelo lishan b'yom Rosh Hashanah u'minhag nochanu." Like there are two further minhagim that he mentions. One minhag is that we do tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. You know, some places, the Litvaks didn't like tashlich. Because a certain Litvaks didn't like Tashlich because it created a social kind of outlet for the seriousness of Rosh Hashanah that was not advised. Some places, it's not clear whether you have to go to a Nahar, a river. If you do, people in Efrat are disadvantaged. I don't think there are many rivers here. Some people think that it's enough to go to a goldfish bowl. Someplace there's an Efrat, somebody has a little pool in front of his house with some goldfish in it, and everything is fakert. You know, everything in the world is fakert. People are for some reason less willing to daven a long Shmona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, which you could imagine, one might imagine, could be called for. I mean, after all, even if we don't argue about, we'll leave out the argument about whether a person can really have Kavanah or not have Kavanah, but you'd think on Rosh Hashanah, on the Shemona Esrei, there are a lot of new words that we don't say every day and don't come pouring out of our mouths like who knows what, like the regular Shemona Esrei, where we sort of get used to it. So you would think that people would be willing to invest some extra time in Shmona Esrei. But in fact, I mean, I say this to you because you all know this very well. In fact, people are annoyed when davening takes them beyond whatever hour they thought they were going to eat lunch. But they are willing, happy, to invest an hour and a half of their day to go to Tashlich, to go to do it. Everybody's like got their machzor and they all want to know the pirtei hadinim. Like you have to throw in bread. If you throw in bread in a bag, is it good enough? Because maybe the fish won't get to it. Are there fish? Is it running? You know, like people suddenly become world experts in Hilchos Tashlich. But another few minutes in Shmona Esrei doesn't interest them. So you can psychoanalyze this situation wherever you want, but however you wish. But I think that it behooves everybody to consider the fact that on Rosh Hashanah, the Shmona Esrei, the words of the Shmona Esrei are fairly new to us, and therefore it's not unreasonable that it should take us a little longer to get through them. I don't mean that we can't say the words or read them. I'm just saying that you know, even a minor consideration of what those words might mean would bring us to a little bit more enterprise in davening Shmona Esrei. I don't think that there's a necessary advantage to davening a very long Shmona Esrei, but I think that on Rosh Hashanah, it's not called for because long is better than short. It's just called for because it's something that comes up once a year and deserves to be considered in that context. The Shmona Esrei of Shachrei, certainly the Shmona Esrei of Musaf, with Malchias, Echronos, and Shofaros. If you just try to think a little bit about the psukim that are mentioned, then the Shmona Esrei will be much longer than it usually is. Here in the yeshiva, I always announce that the Shmona Esrei and Musaf, the Sa'ar Shmona Esrei, will not take less than a half hour in order to encourage people to take the time. But I'm not sure that always works. Nevertheless, yeah, you have this. So you have these minhagim that people are very very careful about. I guess they feel it's a shortcut to the whatever the desired result is. But the ikaro shel yom, which is the tefillah, the tshuva, right? Sadas toka, they say tefillah, tshuva, tztoka. Those, that's the ikar of the yom, the main things that happen on that day. And so I think we should try to be a little bit more concerned about those things. That doesn't mean that I think you should try to fool anybody on earth or in heaven by sort of implying that you've discovered the key to profound kavana. But I think that reading the words carefully and trying to understand the psukim in the context of Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofarus is certainly a good idea that we should try to accomplish on Rosh Hashanah this year.